Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to the first ever Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast live stream. Don't go anywhere, guys, because we got mass monkey brawls in Thai City streets. We got the Black Ring of Death over Disney World. We got a museum that's haunted by the ghost of Agatha Christie. And if that wasn't enough, we have a Bigfoot dash cam sighting near Nordage Bay, and actually out in Alberta. Man, oh man, guys, it's going to be so much fun. And I cannot wait to have this with you guys tonight.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's only up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Welcome to a very special live episode of your monthly paranormal variety show. Now, before we go any further, don't worry. There's still going to be an episode released on the 1st of April, and I've got a wonderful guest that's going to help lighten the dismal mood that is all around these parts. I will say no more, because as we know, my guests are always top secret. So look for the edited version of this podcast you're listening to right now, which is live, and, you know, probably a guest put onto it. There you go. You're going to have some content. Why? Because you're wonderful. A masterpiece. Beautifully made. Important to people because you're important to me. Highly favored by the creator, whether that's God or by the law of averages and physics working in tandem. You, my friend, are an oddball. And on this show, you're family, and we are one. Thank you so very much for joining me tonight. Oh, yes. Right here on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. First and foremost, I got to check in with you guys and let you know, guess what? Yeah, it's true. I'm alive. I'm well. Not a lot of people are alive and well, too, out there. I think it's really important that anybody who's an entertainer right now just, well, entertain. And I kind of fit the bill. I'll be honest with you. I'm not bored. I'm one of those essential workers people hear about. And I'm actually a stay-at-home dad, full-time, but I'm also a foster parent to medically fragile children. So I am working at the time. I'm not having any interruption in my work. My wife is a nurse, so she's also working. So there you go. We're giving her. We're making this happen. And I'm just so happy that I don't have that disruption in my life. But I know there's a lot of people out there who are disrupted by the COVID-19. And I just want you guys to know that I love you very much. I'm right here. I'm always going to be here no matter what happens. The Eye of the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast will be live, you know, during special times like this, because I think it's very, very important as an entertainer to bring you guys something to kind of get your, how shall we say, mind out of the gutter, shall we say. One of the things I say is get your mind off the pessimistic and onto the paranormal, right? And I think that's really, really important. You know, when I do a live show, you might hear things in the background, by the way. Like, you know, when I have my monthly podcast, it's very well edited. You're not going to hear the cat meowing or people upstairs running or babies crying. But you know what? Anything can happen tonight, man. It's true. Anything. So you know what? If you hear a fart, you did it, not me. Let's go ahead and get started. Okay. So the first thing that goes through people's minds when we're in these big, you know, times of crises and stuff like that is, well, holy God, are we going to be all right? Well, I think we're going to be fine. Then we're going to be excellent. To be quite honest with you, there are so many people right now all over the world who are adhering to what's being said to do that I'm not going to get caught up with a couple of thousand who might not be. I'm so, so happy that people are out there right now and doing the right things to protect themselves. And, you know, I'm falling into one of those categories where I'm very nervous because, well, what can I say? My dad, 60-odd years old, chemotherapy. I mean, he's prime candidate for this thing, so I'm scared to death. Seeing some people here in the live chat right now saying hello. Journey Through the Gate podcast. Hello, Cisco. I love you, sweetheart. Good to see you here. You'll have to talk to me with just typing tonight. You know, by the way, if you want to send some of those magic herbs that are going to help cure this thing, let me know. And Charlie, of course, has also been saying in the chat there, said, first thing that goes through my mind is this is a conspiracy. Now, isn't that interesting? You're not the first to say that. You certainly won't be the last. You know, the first thing that actually popped through my head was, why the heck is this thing only affecting baby boomers? Think about that for a second. Is there like an aging population out there? Is this a form of aging population control? It's kind of strange, right? I call it the boomer bug, baby. Unfortunately, it is kicking people's butts who are a little bit older. But, you know, unfortunately, science kind of took the fun out of the conspiracy theory already, guys. Because guess what? We already knew about this strain. This is just a new strain of a strain. What scares me, though, is that a lot of our old ways of dealing with this thing is just not going to work. So, Cisco, I know you're an avid herb healer with ancient wisdom there, and it's going to throw this out to you, sweetheart. I don't think you're going to be able to fix this one, but it's okay. We're going to be all right. Here comes the other part of this, too, that just kind of blows my mind. Like, the amount of people that might be infected who don't know. And if this truly is a conspiracy thing, that I think it's the granddaddy of them all. What's the biggest conspiracy there is? I mean, my world, it's the NWO, the New World Order, the Illuminati, the people behind the scenes pulling the strings. It makes no sense for a one world government agenda who wants to have a one world government to have all these countries and provinces of closing their borders up. So in a way, this might be the anti-NWO. Could this be a message to the NWO, as in, you're not in charge, we are? Very interesting stuff. You know, another thing, too, that really blows my mind about this is just the sense of community that's come from it. You know, I've gotten so many calls and messages from friends, people who just really, really enjoy the podcast. Man, they're just all about it. Just want to have this live show start. And you know, a couple of people asked me, you know, John, you should go live, man. Go live. Come on. We need to hear that familiar voice. Man, if I'm that familiar voice to you tonight, I just, my heart's full for you guys. It really is. I love it. And one thing that will always remain is me kind of in the background. And I know, you know, traditionally I do this once a month, but I just felt it was very important to get on the horse here and have some fun with you guys. Because you know what? I'm healthy. You're healthy. We're happy. We're going to get through this. And let's go ahead and let's just start in with something absolutely insane. Do you guys know what this is?
Not so now.
Yeah, you probably guessed it. That's actually the sound of a violin. Well, what if I told you this lady had something crazy important going on during the time? Yeah, that's right. This episode of the Paranormal News, we're going to start off with a woman having brain surgery while playing the violin.
Somewhere between the funnies and the obituaries is, yes, Paranormal News.
That's no joke. That is actually the sound of a woman playing the violin to ensure surgeons did not damage the part which controls the fine movement of her hands during brain surgery. Dagmar Turner, a 53-year-old management consultant and passionate violinist from the Isle of Wight, had a tumor removed at King's College Hospital. She was worried she may lose her music skills, so she suggested she be allowed to play the violin during the operation. Professor Kayama Ashkan, a consultant neurosurgeon at the hospital, came up with a plan to reduce the risk. Surgeons mapped her brain, opened up her skull, and then got her to play the violin as the tumor was removed. Footage shows her picking up the instrument during the surgery and playing scales with her own eyes shut. This was the first time I've had a patient play an instrument, said the doctor. Well, I dare say. I dare say. So what kind of instruments are you guys into? That kind of brings me into the next question, right? Yeah. Like, what are you guys into? Like, If I was getting brain surgery, I'd probably play the spoons because I'm not too musical. I tried to get into guitar, and then I, like, you know, totally got into this stuff, right? So I wonder what would happen if you were getting brain surgery right now and you were, like, I don't know, playing guitar. Do you think you'd, like, go from playing something really elaborate, like Stairway to Heaven, to, like, Hot Cross Buns, something like that? Let's check the live chat. Let's see what people's saying in here. I found a spotter self-quarantined in my shoe today. Better not being a recluse or you have been in real trouble, man. Those things leave brutal bites. Not that you've ever had one. Shuck, cuck, cuck, laugh, laugh, laugh. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, people are crazy, but sometimes they're a little nuts. And this, you know, I just hope this pandemic is remembered for all the brave souls who went out there and did the right thing and people who stayed home and stood triumphant. I just hope we're not remembering that there's toilet paper monsters out there who are literally killing each other. It's like Black Friday, but with, you know, like, you know, with Charmin teddy bears on the front of it. But, you know, it hasn't been all fighting and stuff in the toilet paper aisle. In fact, in Missouri Walmart, something incredible happened. Just take a listen to this news story from KY3.
Empty shelves and store closures. A Springfield Walmart had its own commotion going yesterday afternoon. A baby was born, none other than the toilet paper aisle, of the Walmart at Sunshine and West Bypass. Kara Strickland joins us live from there right now with how it all happened. Kara?
The store manager tells me one of her associates was stopped by a shopper who says her baby is due any day now, and she believes her water had just broke.
One Walmart customer didn't have a chance to get any of those groceries she came for, but she left with something much more special.
We were like, oh my gosh, this is really gonna happen.
Store manager Jessica Hinkle says the woman warned store associates that her last child came in just 30 minutes. And when her water broke in the toilet paper aisle, she was prepared to go into labor right then and there.
So we were like, okay, what do we do now? Another lady comes around the corner. She says, I'm a delivery nurse. Can I help? And we was like, yes, please. Please help us. She had gloves in her pocket. She was ready to go.
Hinkle says she grabbed a sheet and blocked the aisle to give the woman as much privacy as possible.
Crowd control, not like the best with blood. So that was my job, is holding the sheet and crowd control, making sure that nobody invaded what privacy the poor lady still had.
Springfield firefighters rushed into the store and helped deliver the baby girl.
They're the typical fire department that shops in our store, so they were pretty proud of themselves.
Hinkle says the entire process took about 45 minutes, and customers were cheering for the woman the entire time.
And then when they wheeled her out on the gurney, there were customers, of course, gathered, and she kind of raised her hand. Everyone clapped for her.
A touch of happiness, Hinkle says, everyone needed.
You know, feel good moment. Everybody's going through so much, and with a baby, it's like everything comes full circle.
Full circle indeed. What do you think about the poor bloke who had to clean up that aisle? I mean, clean up aisle 3. See the poor guy roll out the old clean up bin, and all he sees is, like, you know, placenta, umbilical cord. You know what? You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If that was me at Walmart that day, probably would have went to the baby aisle and got her a present right away. I'm just saying, that would have been creative. Charlie in the chat just asked, wonder what they named her. I don't know. It's a girl, so we can't really call her Walmart. Oh, how about Marcha? Come on. You guys don't listen to this for my amazing jokes, by the way. You really don't. You know, the idea of somebody giving birth, like, in the back of a cab, is always, like, in the back of my mind when my little kids came. And then, like, the idea that there might be even more people out there who are having these stories, but, like, to have this baby at Walmart when the whole place is on lockdown and people are just insane. Just insane. I think, too, if we're going to name it anything after Walmart, we should definitely call it after, oh my God, let's call the baby Life Brand. That'd be awesome. Walmart Brand. Oh, how about Great Value? That'd be another name for her. I like that. You see, usually when I do podcasts, I edit out all the dorky parts of me snorting and laughing. It's usually way more professional than this, but not tonight, baby. We're live. We are. You know, to bring back the other thing, just kind of rewind just a little bit, just to clue up on that story. God bless that woman. God bless the store manager. Definitely never got paid enough body hour that day. God bless that really nice, kind nurse, you know, who was just there helping. And in these times, I want you guys to remember that there's helpers out there. Was it Mr. Rogers who said that, you know, in times of great need and despair, make sure you kind of have a little look for the helpers. Might help you through. Anyhow, I tell you where you're not going to find any helpers whatsoever. Oh, yeah. Yep. Little place near Thailand. I think I'll just leave the Rocky theme on in the background right now because there's just been mass monkey brawls ensuing in Thai streets since, you know, there's been a reduction in tourists. So these monkeys are actually beating the crap out of each other? Yeah. Residents of Laburi, which is situated to the northeast of Bangkok, are typically used, you know, to seeing crowds of tourists visiting the city's famous temples and taking photographs of the local macaques, which are notorious for stealing food and getting up to all sorts of mischief. Now, though, with the country practically devoid of tourists due to the coronavirus pandemic, the streets of the city are now filled with crowds of starving monkeys forced to fight over scraps. A recently released video shows just how aggressive the pint-sized primates can get, pouncing on anything that even resembles food and fighting amongst themselves for the spoils like a bunch of frickin' monkeys. Okay, so really, when I think of macaques, though, I think, you know, Rafiki from The Lion King. it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But, you know, I wonder, like, what is the effect on nature? Not, you know, the biggest problem with the world is no longer there, which is us, which is man. You know, there's one thing I learned from watching multiple Disney movies over the years. It's that we're the worst thing that ever happened. Fern Gully, man is bad. That's the first things I ever learned, right? I actually looked at this whole thing and realized that without such a big population in every city, man, nature's going to be like taken over again. And the idea that there's a bunch of macaques right now scrapping it out for food in the streets, it's kind of cool. I'm sorry. Someone's going to say it's weird. I love that stuff. Moving on, speaking of weird stuff in the street, have you heard about the Spanish police trying to stop a man dressed as a T-Rex? A man who was supposed to be self-isolating was recently caught out on the street in a dinosaur costume. With self-isolation becoming mandatory in many European countries, some governments have even moved to impose fines on anyone caught outside with a very good reason. One example of this is in Spain, where Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez recently imposed a 15-day state of emergency, which was restricted all but the most essential trips. Not everyone, however, was willing to play the ball. In a recent viral video, Timmy the T-Rex was spotted by police officers, and they can be seen approaching a man who had been ventured out onto the streets of Mallorca, rearing an inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex costume to protect him from the virus. Nature finds a way, baby. During the state of emergency, walking of pets is allowed if accompanied by one person, always short walks so they can relieve themselves. The police department's tongue-in-cheek post reads, having a Tyrannosaurus Rex is not covered. Hashtag stay at home. Yeah, this is just ridiculous. Na, 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 na. You know, I actually seen a couple of guys the other day who were dressed up in T-Rex costumes. They were kind of dancing down the road and stuff. I didn't really understand what the whole point of it all was, but I'm glad they're having fun, you know? I'm glad they're enjoying themselves, but, you know, stay the hell home, people. Come on, stay home. You'll be fine. All right, time to get ghosty with it. Yes, I know. I can't go the whole show without talking about something ghostly. I want to talk about a museum that's haunted by a very famous ghost, and that's the ghost of Agatha Christie. Staff members at a museum in Devon, England, maintain that the building is haunted by a familiar specter. Situated in a popular seaside town on the country's south coast, Torquay Museum is certainly no stranger to the unexplained, having long held a reputation for being haunted. Home to the UK's only collection dedicated to world-famous writer Agatha Christie, the museum houses a number of her books, as well as unique relics from her childhood in Ashfield. Paranormal activity in the building has often been linked to its association with her, especially given that it's not uncommon for books to fly off the shelves seemingly on their own accord. Every time books fly off the shelves, it's always Agatha Christie books, said gift shop manager Francesca. It happened so many times. The most recent was last Tuesday. The poor woman was walking by and one of Agatha Christie's books came flying at her. Then she walked over to the other stand and another Agatha Christie book came and hit her. Volunteer Stuart Scott also witnessed the strange event. We were both standing over on the opposite side of the room and saw it happen. The customers, you know, were walking by just here, and the first book came flying out. Then she walked around to the other side, and a different Agatha Christie book from another shelf flew off. So is the building really haunted, or could there be more conventional explanation? I've seen similar things happen twice now, said Scott. I believe in ghosts. There's got to be something out there. And, of course, you can check that footage out on good old YouTube. Just look up Ghost in Torquay Museum. Now, let's just go back here and let's check this story just a little tiny bit. So I'm Agatha Christie. Why the hell am I haunting a museum, put my own stuff in there? Like, if I was a ghost, I'd go do something interesting. I'd haunt somewhere cool. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. What would I do as a ghost? That's actually a really good question for the chat. Anyway, I'll leave that for you guys. I can think of 1,000 places I'd rather be, like, than the haunting a museum, though. Like, I'd probably haunt Disney World. I think that's where I'd haunt. I don't want to haunt my ex-girlfriend, though. That'd be kind of creepy. Although she totally deserves it. But that's beside the point. What do you guys think? You guys believe in ghosts? Well, I certainly do. And, you know, there's many ghost stories out there about ghosts who are attached to certain objects. Do you think that might have something to do with this? Or maybe this is a different kind of ghost. Maybe this is a ghost that's, you know, pretending to be Agatha Christie books. Or maybe it's using the same book just to get the people's attention. It certainly worked here. I mean, there's an article written about it. So there has to be something going on, right? Makes you kind of wonder, though. Is it possible that a ghost, you know, can do some reading in the afterlife? You know, for some reason, I think it's only going to be light reading. Oh, wait, that was a funny, wasn't it? Okay, wait. I got these audio effects. Okay, let's do a laugh effect. Here it comes. Ha! Okay, all right. That was terrible. Let's move on. So, want some good news? I got some good news for you guys. And I know it's weird to hear good news. Makes your heart stop. But here it comes. There's a London patient. And get this. They are the second to be cured of HIV. Yeah, you got it. We're close to a cure, guys. A second man with HIV has reported been completely being cured, having shown no sign of infection for not one, not two, but three whole years. In surprisingly positive medical news in light of the current coronavirus pandemic, doctors have revealed that a 40-year-old man has become the second ever person to be cured of HIV, or as people know, it's human immunodeficiency virus, after being diagnosed with it back in 2003. So this is 17 years ago. The man, now identified as Adam Castiello of Venezuela, had been known as the London patient when it was previously reported that he had shown no sign of disease for 18 months. Now, at last, it's been confirmed that he really does appear to have been cured. The key to his recovery lay in bone marrow transplant he undergone in 2016 to treat blood cancer. The stem cells he received came from donors with a very rare genetic mutation which prevents HIV from taking hold. Incredibly, the procedure, which had been described as a last resort, well, it actually worked. Scientists are now considering the possibility of offering stem cell treatments to other HIV sufferers. However, there are risks, and not everyone who receives the stem cells will necessarily be cured. You'd have to weigh up to the fact that there's a 10% mortality rate from doing a stem cell transplant against what the risk of death would be if we did nothing, said lead study author Arvind Gupta. At the very least, the news offers a glimmer of hope for those living with the condition, though. And, you know, when I look at that story right there, I mean, the first thing that pops in my head is, my God, how far we've come since the AIDS scare back. Even when I was a kid, it was a big deal. I was born in 84. So, like, all throughout, like, my childhood, like, well into my adulthood, like, AIDS was, like, this big, big, scary thing. And, you know, it really gotten under control in some parts of the world. Still rampant in some of the poorer countries and stuff like that. But mostly here, it is under control. So I'm glad to hear that. And maybe it's a step in the right direction. Let's hope it doesn't take 30 or 40 more years to make sure this thing works. You know what I mean? That would be really suck. Hey, Mickey Mouse, what are you doing today? Well, I ain't doing shit, John, because we're all laid off. Okay, all right, Mickey, calm your crap. Calm your crap. Listen. I got a question for you. What the hell's up with that black ring that appeared over the park? You guys hear about this thing? A black ring that actually appeared over Disneyland. A curious ring of smoke floating high above Disneyland, California, was picked up on camera early this month. Disneyland might be closed now due to the coronavirus pandemic, but back during the first week of this month, visitors were treated to a spectacle that wasn't on any of the brochures, resembling a black smoke ring. The anomalous aerial phenomenon was filmed by several people and has since been viewed tens of thousands of times on social media. But could this really be evidence of extraterrestrials, or this is something more mundane as an explanation? I happen to think I got this figured out, you see. My idea is that Snoop Dogg was going to Disney World, and then he found out that Splash Mountain was down, and you know, he got all mad and stuff, and he felt bummed out, and so he went ahead and he sparked this huge ass just joint. And there you go. That's what he did. That explains the black circle. All jokes aside, though, this thing is freaking weird looking. And, you know, a lot of people talk about Disney as maybe not being such a squeaky, clean place. You know, minus the rats that apparently inhabit the place. Apparently, it's got a lot of, like, you know, dead people as in ashes. Yeah, Disneyland is, like, the most famous place in the world to dump, you know, your loved one's ashes in. Oh, God. Yeah, you know I'm going to say this. The Tower of Terror is one place people like to let it go. And also the Haunted Mansion. So, you know, if you're ever in the ride and you happen to see some dust, don't breathe in. It might be someone you know. Anybody see my cat yet? You guys meet my cat. My cat's name is Penny. I actually got two cats, okay? I have two cats, one named Honey, one named Penny. Honey is just beautiful little orange girl cat, which is really, really rare. And Penny's my best friend. She jumps on my shoulder and she just hangs out with me constantly. I love my cat, okay? I love it. And one thing I love is, well, I got to write something that Riley here said, my cat is Neko. I said, Penny and Neko should drink together. I can't say the joke. I can't say the joke. I'll ruin it. So I'm just going to type it. This is just for you. White Russians. Okay, back on topic. I love my cat very, very much. Me and Penny, if you're on my social media at all, like you're on my Twitter or you're like on my Facebook page or anything like that, you're going to see like every now and then like random pictures of the cat because the cat's a part of like everything. But anyway, I digress. Speaking of cats, you know, there's actually been some really, really, really big freaking paw prints found in Australia. And there's always been talks of these. I can't really say they're cryptids because I think they exist because there's been pictures and stuff. But anyways, there's always these talks of these big unknown, documented giant cats in Australia. So this one made a mistake, though. This little kitty, or should I say gigantic kitty, left a big freaking paw print, and now we got some evidence. The discovery of a large feline print in the Blue Mountains has reignited speculation of a mystery big cat for many years. The legend of the Blue Mountains Panther, a mysterious feline that has been cited by numerous wellness witnesses across the large area of New South Wales, has continued to endure. Yeah. Now a local exploration group known as Blue Mountains Explorer has claimed that it has found actual physical evidence of the creature in the form of a giant paw print situated in a remote location. Oh, the big kitty. You know, I just really hope this cat like goes to the beach and uses the beach as the litter box, because it'd be kind of gross if we found that. Anyway, moving on. It's definitely out there and definitely exists, he said. You can't get out there with the car, so we had to take our bikes and walk. Usually when you go to the more popular tracks, you see shoe prints everywhere or branches have been cleared. It was very clear no one had actually been there. That's really interesting. After documenting the find, the explorers contacted the Australian Hunting Association for advice and were reportedly told that it was unlikely that the prints belonged to a native species. So what does that tell you? It tells you it's a cryptid, baby. Is there really an exotic big cat roaming the wilds of New South Wales? It's possible that it or its progenitors escaped from a circus or were released by an exotic pet owner. Some have even suggested that the creature could be a Thylacoleo, a supposed extinct species of giant carnivorous marsupial that roamed Australia thousands of years ago. As things stand, however, it remains unclear exactly what the mystery creature could be. Okay, so I have a couple of ideas on how to catch this giant cat. Okay, number one, close the door. You know, they hate closed doors. It might start climbing. Shake the treat bag. Maybe she'll come running. To be honest with you, every time I kind of kick back and play video games on my recliner, my pushy cat jumps up with me right away. So maybe I'll do that. Oh, God. Okay. All right. How's that another story? You know, we haven't had anything weird from Canada yet. I know. I'm in Newfoundland. It's weird enough here as it is lately with all the toilet paper wars of 2020 and people like coughing on each other on purpose. Well, what can I tell you? Alberta's the place to go if you want to see weird stuff. How about Bigfoot himself? Yeah. Uh-oh. New dash cam stuff, baby. New footage has emerged, which actually claims to show a large bipedal creature standing among trees at the roadside. Yup. A worker has captured alleged Bigfoot on dash cam is the story. Shot 30 miles east of Banff Park boundary near Nordegg, Alberta. The short clip was recorded by an oil field worker who had been driving along when he picked up something at the side of the road. According to the accompanying description, he hadn't noticed anything unusual at the time and only discovered the anomalous figure when he reviewed the footage later for unrelated reasons. The Bigfoot itself is rather indistinct, to say the least, a dark, shapeless form visible between the trees that could just as easily be a patch of foliage or a gap between the branches cast by shadow. But, you know, we're going to go with the Bigfoot thing, baby, because we need the entertainment. Even so, the worker who captured the footage was quite convinced and even filmed himself returning to the same spot the next day to look for evidence that a creature had been there. He found what appeared to be an area of branches and foliage where something large had been lying down, as well as a number of dark brown hairs, what looked like large footprints as well. Given the questionable nature of the original footage, it's difficult to jump to the conclusion that this, you know, was actual evidence of Bigfoot. However, judging by his reactions, there seemed a little doubt in his mind that he had something extraordinary he had stumbled upon. And of course, you can check the video out yourself. Just look for oil field worker catchers Bigfoot on dash cam. And, you know, this is something we've heard so many times. You know, I think to my dear friend Eric Altman out there, who has actually graced my podcast. I think of William Jevnan, and I think of just everyone who's talked about cryptids and Bigfoot in general on my show. And they always, you know, they don't want to discount the footprints and stuff like that because they're kind of more common. But what they say is look for other signs, because when you have signs correlating, that's when things kind of make a little bit more sense. So this worker here, you know, found some foliage where something large had been lying down, as well as a number of dark brown hairs, which kind of adds to the story, which makes it just a little tiny bit more credible, in my opinion. And of course, unfortunately, due to COVID and the downturn in the economy, this poor guy from Alberta is probably going to be laid off soon. So you know what, buddy? You might have some Bigfoot hair, you know, in your collection now. But if I were you, I'd probably go get your AI and move on with your life. There, I said it. I know I'm terrible. Okay. Now, listen, we can't have a full live show. I just did all kinds of news for you guys. Now let's have some fun, okay? I would like for anybody here who's listening right now to jump into the chat portion of this, get on in there, and ask some questions, okay? Put a message in there. Say something along like the joke of, a pandemic joke, anything at all. Ask me a question about the paranormal. Ask me something about the show, about me. Go ahead, and I'll give you guys a couple minutes to come up with your questions. In the meantime, let's have a chat with some of our contributing people here. As I look up, I see we have Trialy. We have Journey Through the Gate. We have Care. We have, oh, wow, this is really hard to read. We have other people, too, who are coming and going and jumping in and out. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to actually interact with me. I already know the answer to that. It's hey, hey, hey. And that's why my show got taken off the air. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Trialy. One thing I will say. This is terrible. Really. This is just terrible. Ask me some questions, guys. Go ahead. I'll give you a minute to throw some in there. And I'll just kind of maybe move on to another story while we're waiting, maybe. That'd be kind of cool. Okay. All right. Let me see here. I got a couple, actually. I got a couple. I had some on the back burner. So, okay. This one here was actually a story that got put up, and I thought it was kind of cool. I think you guys might like it because, you know, Kirkman told, you know, the guy from behind Walking Dead mentioned, you know, kind of let it slip this week, you know, and also at a couple of other cons and stuff like that, that what caused the zombie apocalypse in The Walking Dead may have been, you know, an alien thing. So, like, for some reason, right away, people are like, this COVID-19 thing it's got to be from a comet or asteroid or something, right? Scientists have moved to debunk the claim that the coronavirus actually fell to Earth on a comet or asteroid. The fight to tackle misinformation about the pandemic as currently sweeping the world is at times proving almost as difficult as fighting the virus itself, especially given that social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter have made it very easy for even the most out there theories to get noticed. Forgive me for putting those theories out and making them in the podcast. One particularly oddball idea was recently put forward by Professor Chandra Wickramasinghe, whose name is totally unpronounceable, by the way, of the Buckingham Center of Astrobiology, who suggested that the virus may have been unleashed over China by a meteor that exploded over the country back in October 2019. He also implied that other outbreaks in the past may have also started the same way. Suffice to say, his theory has been met with significant degrees of skepticism. As things stand, there is no evidence that the coronavirus or any other virus came from space, nor is there any evidence that any virus could remain viable after such a trip. It's one of those cases where extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, astrobiologist Graham Liu told space.com. Even though it's an interesting idea, we just don't have any reason to embrace the idea right now. I think it's important for scientists to point out pseudoscientists or bad science. If this was real, it'd be great. But we just can't allow ourselves to jump to the feel-good conclusion without doing our due diligence as scientists. Well, there you go. Very scientific of you. Okay. What killed Max Spears, and was he a super soldier? Okay, I have no idea who Max Spears is. Might be because I'm Canadian, okay? But as for the super soldier program, baby, oh, man, you're going to make me start talking about Captain America. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Oh, guys. Anyhow, I'm done with my news. I just want to leave you guys with some positive thoughts before I go, because, you know, it's been really fun. And holy crap, I've been on air for almost 40 minutes. Jeez, I was only hoping to be on for a half hour. I kept you guys way too late. Holy mackerel. Wow, this is really fun. I like doing this live, especially when I got the music and stuff actually clued up properly. Okay, here it comes. I'm just gonna end this now, okay? I really enjoyed it. I loved having you guys here. You know, there's still going to be a show on the 1st of April. My guest is going to be just awesome. You're going to really like it. Very timely to have somebody in talking about, like, the end of the world and stuff because... Yeah, I think we're kind of there, guys. You know, we might be there. Also, check out the first. I'm going to do an edited version of this first, you know, for that show as well. And I'll release this as well, especially if, you know, you only got to, like, kind of jump in, kind of listen to the whole show. Or maybe you jumped in, like, quarter way through and you missed some. But anyway, You'll get the whole thing there. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to jump on. If you're on Podbean right now, go in there, subscribe. These live shows are really fun. I think it might be fun to kind of do them if we're stuck home for a little while. And for other reasons too. Guys, I love you. Take care. Be safe. And hopefully you'll hear from me again very, very soon. Take it easy, guys, and be well.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.